I'm very excited to be here tonight, and I'll be very specific why. I hope it doesn't offend anybody in the room. I'm very excited to be able to speak to the fathers, the parents, the adults. That's really very nice. But there's always a very special excitement when you're able to speak to Talmidim and Bochrim who are B'nai Torah. And that like really, really excites me. And I'm not just saying it so that they can get into it. I've spoken so many times since I arrived on Friday that I'm just saying it as it is. It's very, very nice to speak to the adults, Talmidei Chachamim, parents, fathers. It's a big schus. But to speak to the Bochrim, the B'nai Torah, the Tinaikai Shel Beis Rabban, that like really, really excites me. So I would quote the words of my father Zatzal, the famous words, Mi Yedea Mimachazik Esmi. You never really know who is being mechazik and supporting whom. It's based on a famous story. I hope that in our time together, everybody in the room will get chizuk. I really hope so. But speaking to B'nai Torah, to Bochrim, to the future of Klal Yisrael, I want them to remember those six words and know that I mean it. Mi yodea mimachazik esmi. I'm getting more chizuk just looking out at you as we approach the time of Kabbalas HaTorah. I want to thank those who made my speaking here tonight before I go back to Miami tomorrow morning possible. My achsanya in general since I arrived on Friday 2 days ago was the organization TAL, Torah and Action Equals Life, and Harav Yonatan Tawil. He is my achsanya who brought me out to London and the one who made my entire trip possible. And meeting him, we've become good friends, and his organization is for me a big kavod. And I'm very, very makir toiv. Tonight specifically, though, I'm privileged to speak for Torah Way. I know that when Dudi Itzkovitz called me, we had some conversations about the flyer, the topic, the picture. I was able to see that Dudi is a person that mamish gets into it and leaves no stone unturned. He takes care of details. So I hope he and Torah Way have tremendous success in Siyata Deshmaya, being Marbitz Torah each and every day. And to Rabbi Silkin and Klal Chazoin, I planned on saying thank you for being co-sponsors as well. But I'm changing my thank you. Did you people listen to the words Rabbi Silkin said? And I don't mean when he introduced me. I liked it. It made me feel good. I don't know how. I'm going to just say it straight. I don't know how long Rabbi Silkin spoke for. Maybe 10, 12, 13 minutes. That was like a serious drasha. I Baruch Hashem, have the privilege to speak many places and hear many people speak. He said tzum zach. He said to the point. It was knakadik. It was like oodles and oodles of Chosheva Torah. I couldn't help but think to myself, I need to be a guest speaker after that. And I'm not just saying that because that's like the line you're supposed to say. So yes, I was going to thank Klal Chazon and Rabbi Silkin for also co-sponsoring. But Meyum Kedalibi, I'm going to tell you, that was like a serious fest of art we just heard. It was like Torah. In fact, many of the points that Rabbi Silkin mentioned are points that I want to touch upon as well. And I did have them in mind even before they were said, so I guess we were working together not knowing it. But that was like a real impressive drasha. And I hope it had the impact on you that it did on me. The topic that the organizations chose for tonight, Nafsa V'Nishma, what would we say today? I'd like to believe we'd say Nasa V'Nishma, but let me give you a few possible explanations. I'll take you on a little journey, like what gets in the way of our saying Naseh V'Nishma. In tonight's talk, I want to humbly suggest three separate ideas. And each of the three will come with, hopefully, tools of how to get rid of them. So as tonight's topic, Naseh V'Nishma, what would we say today? Let's address 3 points, and hopefully we'd give the same answer as they did then. Point number one. A couple of months ago, I was going from Miami to Philadelphia for Shabbos. A shul brought me in. And I happened to have been sitting in the front row of the airplane. That means right in front is the flight attendant and where she sits and makes her announcements from. And here I'm getting ready for my flight to Philadelphia. We're in middle. About a half hour before the end of the flight, she gets on the microphone system, the flight attendant does, and she makes the announcement that if you travel, you've heard like 1,000 times before. People know the announcement in their sleep. And she starts to say, as you could see, the fasten seatbelt sign has been turned on. That's an indication for you to put your seat in the upright position, to put your tray table back in the place, to stow your luggage in the upper compartment, as we begin our initial descent into... And then she looks at me and says, where are we headed again? And I said, Philadelphia? And at that point, she continues her announcements and says, as we begin our initial descent into Philadelphia, thank you for joining, and if it's your home, have a nice time. When she finishes the announcement, she turns to me and says this sentence, and I quote, thank you so much for reminding me and helping me. You see, I do this 20-30 times a week. I don't often and always remember where I'm headed. Yeah, sure, I laughed just like you did. But it lasted like 2 seconds. And then I started thinking thoughts like Mesilas Yesharim, Sharei Tshuva, Orchas Sadikim. Only in this case it came from a flight attendant who said to me, I do this so many times, I don't remember where I'm headed. I don't know how different I am and you are and we are. Sometimes we do something so often, and sometimes we are so busy, do you even remember what we're doing here? Do we even remember where we're headed? And I want to tell you what her words reminded me of. And if you're not familiar with it, you should look it up inside. Take a look at the Mesilas Yesharim Perek Beis. The Mesilas Yesharim spends multiple paragraphs talking about it. I'm just going to give you the elevator pitch. The Mesilas Yesharim wants to know, the Pasuk says in Shemois, Paro wanted to make our work harder. Tichpad ha'avoida. He made our work harder. Now if you ask me what that meant, harder work, to me it would mean more... back-breaking, carrying bricks. Working many more hours in slave labor. You know what the Mesilas Yesharim says on the words, Tichbaru Avayda? Look it up yourself, as I said. It's line upon line. It's majestic the way he writes. Middle of Perek Beis, he says, Tichbaru Avayda meant he wanted to give us work. It could have been, I'm now talking, folding napkins, picking spoons up off the floor. It didn't make a difference. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Tichbaru Avoida meant to keep us so busy that we're always busy and busy and busy and busy that we don't have time to stop, lehisboinen, to contemplate, like, what am I doing in this world? Hey, Shavuos is next week. Like, I know that's something about Kabbalas HaTorah. Yeah? The Mesilas Yesharim says, and by the way, I could show you in every Golos, everyone, Ad V'ad Bechlal, that the enemies wanted to destroy us with Tichbar HaAvodah. I could show it to you in the Hanukkah story. I could show it to you in the Purim story. You see it now in the Mitzrayim story. They always want one thing. Stay so busy and busy and busy and busy. Who has time to think? Who has time to mamish think, hey, the flight attendant is right. Where am I headed? What's my chiyuv in this world? What am I supposed to be doing? And today's galus, not only is it not different, but it might be the strongest form of tichbar ha'avayda. I am not here to speak about technology. I did quite a bit of that over the weekend, and in traveling the world, I do a lot of it. But you didn't need me to come from Miami, Florida, to tell you. You could speak to your own Rabbanim and Paiske Halacha about technology, the do's and the don'ts. All I'm saying is, and this applies equally, whether it's the bachur or the adult, and the person has a computer or a phone or a smart, whatever it is. I'm not giving specifics. I don't even know how it is here, and in every place it's different. And I'm, of course, not talking about chalila, that a person uses the technology or the device for something that they shouldn't or inappropriate. I am talking to the children and certainly the adults. Even whatever the device is, and it's being used, again, speak to your own paiske halach. I'm not here to do that. But I'm allowed to say, even if what you're using it for is something that's fine, and I don't mean a tyradika thing, but the time that's wasted, people can go on a phone or a gadget for hours and hours and hours. For what? You had to find out when coffee started to grow in North Dakota, and why it's better than the Italian pasta that came from underground? How'd you manage with that information before this? People are so busy collecting information and busy and busy and this. I don't even know all the terms. As I said many times over the weekend, I know very little about technology. I don't have, anybody tries to reach me, you could ask the rabbi, you could ask Dudi. I don't have email. I have a phone that's so antiquated that when I went through TSA, which is our security in the airport, they took it away. They wanted to take a picture with it because they didn't believe anybody still had such a phone. But I had to send an email 2 years ago when my daughter was in seminary. So I called her to ask her how to send the email. Her roommate said, and I overheard it, it bothered me. She was telling me how to send it. They said, Gila, who are you talking to, your grandmother? So I don't know a lot about technology. But as a Rav, I'll tell you what I do know. People are so busy and busy and busy. Whether it's a buck or an adult, you can be busy. An hour passes, and another hour passes, and another hour passes. And what information did you gather already? The first thing that I'm humbly suggesting that may very well get into the way of, if the Ribbono Shel Olam said Naaseh V'Nishma, or we would say that, would we still say it today? You can't be so busy. Like the flight attendant told me, and like the of course is from the Mesilas Yesharim Tichbar HaAvodah, stop and think. Where am I headed? What am I supposed to be doing? How could I steig more? How could I help a fellow chaver? How could I improve bein adam la makom, bein adam la chaveri, bein adam la atzmai? But stop and think. As the Mesilas Yesharim says, lehisboineinu lehistakel. So maybe the first reason that we would normally have a hard time answering Naaseh V'Nishma is because we're too busy. Don't be so busy. And remember that the focus is, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? you don't ask yourself that question, Erev Kabbalah Satira, when then? Suggestion number two, or should I say perhaps hindrance number two with the suggestion. And again, it's really, if you will listen to all three of mine, I've got to be honest with you, they were all three mentioned in Rabbi Silkin's words. I'm not just saying that. If you listen to all three nekudas, the one I said and two I will, he alluded and touched magnificently and majestically upon all three. Point number two. Maybe it's best described with a maisa that happened in Russia, in St. Petersburg, about 100 years ago, in the shul there. If you want to see the story inside, the Rosh Hashiva, Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, the Heiliger Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, brings it down with all the details. There was a shul in St. Petersburg, Russia, that the Jews, very, very affluent and wealthy Jews, only gathered, sometimes only on Yom Kippur. They're gathered in the shul, and they are bidding for the kibudim. And now it's time for the most precious one, psicha for Ne'ila. That's like the biggest kibud. Now, people there were very wealthy. Bidding started at 500 ruble. That's a lot of money. Baron Ginsburg, who was renowned for his wealth, for fabulously wealthy, bid 2,000 ruble. Reb Moshe Shmuel Shapiro says that today the monetary equivalent of 2,000 ruble would be between $200,000 and $300,000. And even if you people use pounds, that's a lot of money. Baron Falk heard the bid, and he upped it by 20%, and he bid 2,500 ruble, meaning 25%, 2,500 ruble. That's the equivalent of just south of $500,000, and Baron Falk got it. They gave him the kibud. When he found out that he got the kibud, he then turned to the guy next to him and he said, psst, what is psicha for Ne'ila? And the guy said, you just bid $500,000 and you don't know what it is? And he answered, no. But I know one thing. Baron Ginsburg knows how to spend money properly. Baron Ginsburg knows a good deal. And if he was willing to spend 2,000 ruble, it must be something special. And so I wanted it and I got it. So now tell me, what is psicha for Ne'ila? Rabbeisai, that is our, and should be our approach to Torah. What I mean by that is, of course we learn Torah, we live Torah, we breathe Torah, we appreciate Torah. It's our very life. But whether or not you and I and we fully, fully understand the value of Torah, listen to my lips. It makes no difference. It's irrelevant. I'm not the connoisseur on Torah. You're not the connoisseur on Torah. The Chachamim are. And the Chachamim say, Yekara hi mipninim. It's more valuable than pearls and diamonds. And of course, the Medrash says, read the word mipninim as lifnai vilifnim. In other words, the Kohen Gadol, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, Torah is even greater than that. Let me repeat that again. The holiest man on the holiest day, in the holiest place, and Torah is bigger than that. Do you and I fully understand the pricelessness of Torah? I'm sure we don't fully understand it. But the Chachamim do. And the Chachamim are the connoisseurs. And the Chachamim tell us that it is Yekarahim Ipninim. So even if I have to turn to somebody and say, psst, what's Psicha for Ne'ila? One thing I know. If the Chachamim said that there's nothing more precious, then I understand that fully. And maybe that's the second thing that might get in the way today of our saying Na'aseh V'Nishma. We think we need to understand, and we think we need to know. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to know everything. We apply ourselves, and we learn. But the Chachomim tell us, Yekorehi Mipninim, there isn't anything that is more valuable and priceless than Torah. That we need to know. You want to know what Torah does? I'll tell you a Chsam Sefer. People have told me wherever I've said the Chsam Sefer, I actually said it in London last year when I spoke here as well. If people are here that were there then, you heard it then. You want to know what Torah does? We know that the Gemara Seif Brachos, and if you say B'Mem Adlik, and we say it Friday night, Talmidei Chachomim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Now if I asked you how Talmidei Chachomim promote peace in the world, I'm sure most people would answer, they're so nice, their persona, their Prezemlichkeit, their Ibergegebenkeit, all that is true. You know what the Chsam Sefer says? None of the above. While all of that is true, you want to know how Talmidei Chachamim promote peace in the world? Listen to a Mavaldik Chsam Sefer. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam shtel davek the world and established it that in every door there's a volume of milchama. Imagine my hands represent, there's this amount of milchama in every generation, from here to here. That's a given, and there's nothing that you or I could ever do that will change that volume of milchama. It's grandfathered in, and that's it. That's the way the fabric of the world goes. But says the Chsam Sefer, there's two types of milchama in the world. There's the milchama of Ela Yilmadu Oid milchama, the milchama of when the enemies, the nations that surround Eretz Yisrael, want to destroy us, Cholila Rachmana Litzlan. You know the real type of anti-Semitism and milchama, and when people want to Cholila harm and do bad things to Klal Yisrael, that's one type of milchama. But then there's another type of milchama. It's called milchamta shel Torah. Milchamta shel Torah means when you walk into a vibrant Beis Medrash and people are tumbling over a tzais. People are trying to understand the Rambam and the Ravid. It's when you sit down with your chavrus and you work over the Rashba again. Milchamta shel Torah could mean when you come home late at night and you don't have the koyach, but you still force yourself. What the Ribbono Shel Olam says is, whether you like it or not, this is the amount of milchama that's in every generation. But what you could decide is, what type of milchama will that be? Milchamta Shel Torah or the other? So now if you watch my hands, the math is very simple. This is the amount of milchama in every door, whether you like it or not. But the more that we use the volume of milchama for milchamta shel Torah, I'm using the milchama, I'm using the milchama, I'm using the milchama, I'm using the milchama, I'm using the milchama. There's kimat nothing left for the other type of milchama. But Mela says the Chsam Sefer, Talmidei Chachamim, because they use the volume of milchama for milchamta shel Torah, by definition, marbim shalom ba'olam. All that's left is peace. That shot is so pile ployim. We do not determine how much milchama there is in the year Tashin Ayin Zion. What is biyadeinu is to use that volume of milchama for milchamta shel Torah. The more you use it, the more there's room left for the other type. If there's nothing left for the other type, you know what the world's left with? Marbim shalom ba'olam. Because I don't have any milchama for the other type. Marbim shalom ba'olam. It's priceless. It's our shmira. It protects us. It's our life. I'd like to believe that even if we don't fully understand it, we would still say in the year Tavshin Ayin Zayin, Nase V'Nishma, because it is our life, it is our Shmira, and even if I don't fully understand Psicha for Ne'ila, I at least get it. It's Yekorehim Mipninim, and that's something that we always have to understand. Perhaps one of the ways to help us at least try to appreciate the pricelessness of Torah is with another idea that Rabbi Silkin mentioned, but I commented over the Shabbos. You mamish find this idea in Megillas Rus. There's a sefer on the Megillas Rus written by a dear friend of mine in America and Queens, Rav Moshe Levi Bamberger, and I feel that this pshat in Megillas Rus is from one of the finest pshatim. Everybody knows that Naomi tried to dissuade Rus from being a Geiris and converting. And what did Rus answer? Where you go, I'll go, and where you sleep, I'll sleep, where you lodge, I'll lodge. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, what is it that Naomi said to Rus, that Rus answered, where you go, I'll go, where you lodge, I'll lodge. So of course the Gemara says, she tried to dissuade her future daughter-in-law by telling her different things that are forbidden. I'll give you two of them very quickly. She was telling Rus about the Isser of Tchum Shabbos. There are places you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos 2,000 amas beyond a certain point. You know what Rus answered? No problem. Where you go, I'll go. The next thing that Naomi says to Rus is, you know, there's an Isser of Yichud. A person is not allowed to be together with a man or a woman that's not their spouse, their husband, or their wife. So you know what Rus answers to that? No problem. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Does anybody who listened to me have like a fairly obvious question on Rus's responses to what Naomi said? If I would be Naomi and you would be Rus, and I turn to you and say, there's an Isra of Tchum Shabbos, you're not allowed to go beyond a certain distance. If you are Rus, what should you be answering me? Like, somebody should have the right answer. What would you answer? I'm probably not answering because you want me to schwitz and have a hard time, but it's not shy. You know what Rus would answer. Rus would say, fine. Where I can't go, I won't go. But she doesn't say, where I can't go, I won't go. She says, where I could go, I will. Who spoke to you about could? I spoke to you about can't. The next thing she tells Rus is, there's an Isra of Yichud. You can't be secluded with certain people in certain places. So what she should answer is, where I can't lodge and be, I won't. Instead, what does she answer? Where I could, I will. Who asked you that? You were told that there's an Isser. It's forbidden to do this, and it's forbidden to do that. Your answer, Tzum Zach, should have been, what I can't do, I won't do. Where I can't go, I won't. Fine. But that's not what she answers. She answers, where I could go, I will. Where I can lodge, I will. Habaisai, the answer is the second point that we've addressed tonight. Did Rus understand Naomi's question? Of course she understood what Naomi was saying. She heard. She heard the words perfectly. There are a lot of things that are forbidden and that you can't do. She heard it perfectly. You know why she didn't answer in the negative that way? Where I can't go, I won't go, where I cannot. You know why? Because she was telling her mother-in-law, I get it. I really do. But you know why I want to join Kol Yisrael? Ashreinu matoy chelkeinu. Manoyim goyoleinu. Mayofa Yerusha Seinu. I get it. There are prohibitions. It's forbidden. There's negatives. But I want to tell you, I see the positive. I see the sweetness. I see the simcha bouncing off the walls. That, when Naomi heard that from Rus, she said, you're in. You got it. She said, now you got it. I understand. The Isser Yichud, I can't do this. Isser Tchum Shabbos, I can't do that. But what Rus was telling Nami was, at the end of the day, the most fundamental part of understanding the Torah is, Ashreinu, do you know how lucky we are? Matoivu Manoyim, do you know how good and how pleasant it is? Mayofe, it is stunning, it is elegant, it is delicious, it is beyond. When Rus heard, when Nami heard that Rus answered in the positive, she then embraced and welcomed her daughter-in-law. Parents and children, adults and bachram alike, I, and I'm saying it a little louder for you if you would like to listen, better make sure that today when we transmit Torah to our children, the simcha in our home bounces off the walls. You want to know if it's possible? Yeah, it's possible. I didn't say it's not hard, it's not difficult, it doesn't come with challenges. I understand that it does. But especially today when children and people could be so distracted and torn away with every technological device and everything the Yetzer Hara creates, don't be busy with the negative. Children and adults have to walk into a home where it's permeated with simcha, mit the geschmack, an excitement. Ashreinu, matoy, mayofe, manoyim. Everybody could do it on their own level. Some people have the ability to learn all day. Some people are working most of the day. Some people have been religious their whole life. Some people only became religious. So what? Give it over with the festkeit, with the geschmack, with an enjoyability. People like that. People are attracted to that passion. And that's the second thing that makes me believe, yes, we today would answer, Nase v'nishma. You know why? Because Torah is our life. Torah is our shmira. And while I may not know the value of psicha of ne'ila, our chachomim tell us yikarehi mipninim. So now I get it. Now that it's yikarehi mipninim, you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to walk into my home and I'm going to make sure that the simcha and the Torah is just permeated throughout the entire home. They say over a maisa. Many people say the maisa. About 100 or so years ago, a young boy came home who, at the young age, had just finished a Seder Mishnayos. And in the middle of the day, he walks, when yeshiva's over, he walks into the house. And his mother is doing whatever the chores are in the home. And he says, Ma, I finished a Seder of Mishnayos. I finished a Masechta Mishnayos. He says, what? You finished a Seder of Masechta? She runs to the dining room table. She sets up the table, Shabbos and Yom Tov Dik, starts putting out the crystal and the dishes, whatever they had special, Kiyat HaMelech, tells the family we're going to mamish have a suda like Shleima HaMelech B'Shaitoi. This is a siyum. And you could only imagine the simcha and the exuberance, the ashreinu that the mother gave over. And we are very grateful that that woman did that. Because you see, that young boy had a brilliant mind, and many in the Enlightenment wanted to grab him as well. But seeing his mother's ashreinu matoy mayafa manoyim, he had no doubt what he wanted. And that boy grew up to be Rav Yitzchok Huttner, the Chaim Berlin Rosh Hashiva, one of the Gedolei Yisrael. How grateful we are to Mrs. Huttner for responding the way she did. What would have been if when her little son Yitzchak came in and said, Ma, I made a siyum. She says, that's really nice, but don't put the Mishnayos on the end of the table. I just cleaned it. Put it away. We'll talk about it later. Really, I want to hear, but let me just do it. or like we might say today, I really do want to know, but after a few emails, after a few texts, after a few WhatsApps, after a few business deals, then I want to hear about it. Really sending a great message. How grateful we are to Mrs. Huttner for responding the way she did. We were zeicha to one of the Gedolei Yisrael. It's possible for us to do the same thing. The child comes home, you put him on your shoulder, and you start dancing to Tiras Hashem Tamima till you're panting. I'll tell you something. People in my kehillah know I will never speak about a topic, ever, if it's not something I do myself or can do myself. What right do I have? As they say in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Hu Haya Omer, they translate, Hu Haya, only if you are Omer, speak about it. Of course, I and everyone need to improve. But this is something in my house that's Kodesh HaKadoshim. The child comes home and finished a mesechta, finished something. Make it a chasana. Let them know there isn't anything more precious or valuable than the Torah. So perhaps this is the second thing that gets in the way. But like with the first thing, I'm at least attempting to give you a possible tool to handle it. We don't know the pricelessness of Torah, but we know it's our life. We know it's our shmira. We know it's the most precious thing. Make it geshmak. Make it ashreinu matoiv manoyim mayofa. And finally, number three. Again, a point that was touched on upon earlier. I just want to open it up a little bit. We heard earlier the words, people have to believe in themselves. A person may have been listening to what I've said the last 35 or 40 minutes and say, yes, that's really true, but it's not me. He learns all day. He's the Rosh Kailo. He's the Rav. He's the Rosh Hashiva. He's been religious his whole life. Yeah, so? Every person on their own level has to believe that they could mamish make that difference. I just mentioned in an earlier talk down the road, you know that every Yid is called Yisrael, either a Bas Yisrael or a Ben Yisrael, no matter what your name is. Reb Leibele Eger wants to know, why is that the name that we have? Everybody knows that it's based on the pasuk that says Yaakov Avinu fought with the guardian angel of Esav, Ki sorisa im elokim v'anoshim v'tuchal. We fought with the angel and I won. So the word sorisa is etymologically the word Yisrael. Now if anybody is still listening, did anybody not get the memo on the last word of the pasuk? Did your chumash like cut out before the last word? The last word of the pasuk was ki sardisa lagim anadim vatuchal. Vatuchal means I won. So Reb Leibele Eger wants to know, why are we called Yisrael from the word sarisa? Why aren't we called Yituchal from the word vatuchal? I won. Hello, I won. And if people are listening and giggling and thinking, oh, Yituchal sounds so funny. If that was our name, then Yisrael would sound hysterical. Why aren't we called Yituchal? I won! Zokter Leibele Eger. You won. You know what winning is? What do you know about winning? In the non-Jewish world, I'll tell you what winning means. I need the gold medal. I need to beat you. I need to come in first place. I need to be at the head. That's winning. That is a trefa hashkafa. That's not unzera, our definition of winning. You know what our definition of winning is? I tried. I put in the effort. I gave it my best. I persevered. There will be a time after 120 gezunta years that when we're in Shamayim And there are things that we thought in this world we tried but didn't succeed and win. I didn't end up understanding the Gemara. I tried but I fell short. The Ribbono Shel Olam will say, you won! Because our definition of winning is trying, putting in the effort, persevering, not prevailing. So you know why we're called Yisrael? Because our definition of winning is trying, persevering, and believing in yourself. Maybe that's the third thing that we need to properly answer today. Nasa v'nishma. I believe in myself. I will try, I'll put in the effort, I will put in the battle. It might be a struggle, but through my perseverance, I believe I could do it. I mentioned earlier a Maisa with Reb Moshe Feinstein. Many years ago, there were a group of Bochrim that were not doing what they should have been in yeshiva, and they were playing prank phone calls, phone scams. I usually, when I address Bochrim or younger adults, say, if you know what a phone scam is, better you don't tell me. And if you don't know what it is, good, Baruch Hashem, I'm sure that that's true. But it's when people will make types of pranks and scams and bogus phone calls and never do it. This group took it to a new level. They were calling Peiske Halacha and making up fake, bogus halachic questions. And there was one boy whose turn it was to call Reb Moshe Feinstein. He called Reb Moshe at 11:30 at night. The Rebbetzin said, the Rashiva is sleeping, should I get him? And the boy said, yes, wake him up. Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe comes to the phone, he hears it's a halachic question, he washes his hands first, and he asks, what's the question? The boy asks the question, and right away Reb Moshe realized it's a prank, it's a fake question. He realized immediately what the boy was up to. He asked the boy where he learned, and the boy didn't want to answer. He thought Reb Moshe was going to get him in trouble. Reb Moshe said, of course not, I just want to know where you learned. Then he asked the boy what grade he's in. He asked him what Gemara he's learning. He asked him what daf he's on. And then Reb Moshe asked him a kasha on Tosfos on that daf. And he asked the boy, did you understand the kasha on Tosfos? Now it's a miracle the boy knew which Bubba he was learning. He got that right. He didn't know the kasha on Tosfos. So Reb Moshe said, let me teach you the Gemara. No one had the patience of Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe's patience was legend. Line by line, word by word, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos by heart, Reb Moshe taught him. After one time he asked the boy, do you understand? And the boy said, no. Like Reb Prater, Reb Moshe taught it again and again. After teaching it to the boy past midnight multiple times, he said to the boy, now do you understand the kasha on Tosfos? And the boy said, that's an unbelievable kasha. Yeah, I get it. So Reb Moshe said, what I want you to do is tomorrow morning in Shir by Tosfos, ask your Rebbe that kasha. They're in the middle of learning Tosfos the next day. The boy's raised his hand. Rebbe couldn't imagine what's he raising his hand for. He calls on the boy, and the boy asks that kasha on Tosfos. So the Rebbe says, that's an unbelievable kasha. Where'd you get that from? He says, I got it from Reb Moshe Feinstein. The Rebbe mutches and works on the question all week. And at the end of the week, he comes into the class and he says he has an answer. And he gave a beautiful answer to the kasha. That night the boy comes home from yeshiva, he runs to his room and he cries. His parents want to come into the room. finally he lets them in and they see he was mamish crying, tears coming down his eyes. And they asked him, what's the matter? And the boy said, Reb Moshe believed in me. Reb Moshe had the patience and the love and the caring. Reb Moshe entrusted me with a question to ask my Rebbe that my Rebbe worked on and mutched for an entire week. Reb Moshe believed in me. And if Reb Moshe believes in me, then I believe in myself. And he told his parents, I'm ready to go back to yeshiva and learn seriously. And today, this bachur is now a well-known magid shir in a yeshiva gedayla in the tri-state area in America. You know why? Because Reb Moshe believed in him. And that, I think, is the third key to answering Nasa v'nishma. Believe in ourselves. Believe that whether we're 9 or 109, whether we know Masechta Shakla V'Tarya or we're just beginning to learn, believe in yourself. Believe you could make a difference. Reb Moshe, the brilliance of Reb Moshe to show him caring and concern and belief. And the boy said, if Reb Moshe feels that way about me, then I believe in myself. We have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe in our children. The Bachrim have to believe in themselves that they could steig and vaksois. Big, big, big Talmidei Chachamim and Yerei Shemayim and Erlich Hayidim. We have to believe. That's the third thing to answering Nasa V'Nishma. First, we remind ourselves that what gets in the way is sometimes we are so busy that we don't stop and think, where am I headed? Sometimes it takes a flight attendant to remind us. The second thing to properly answering today, Nasa V'Nishma, is remembering the pricelessness of Torah, and whether we fully deherit or not is irrelevant. But we do know it's our life, it's our shmira, and so to transmit it to ourselves and our kinderlach, Ashreinu matoiv manoyim mayofe, make it gishmak. Let them see and feel there's just nothing more exciting, period. And finally, number three, the belief in ourselves. Our name is Yisrael for a reason. We put in the effort, we try, and through our perseverance, that is winning. Our perseverance is essentially answering Nasa V'Nishma. We have to believe in ourselves. And just to be Messiah, if you are perhaps still thinking, but even the little bit, does that really make a difference? Even my little bit of trying, my 5 minutes, my small effort, it really makes a big difference? You heard earlier I was in Manchester a few years ago. I ended with this story, and while it's very, 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 very well known, I want to end with it again. The reason I enjoy saying it is because it happened with my father's atzal. Some will tell you it's from the most famous stories in the yeshiva world. I have older sisters, but I'm an only son. I'm the youngest child. And whenever this story was written up with inaccuracies, it bothered my father's atzal. So I take pride in telling it to you, with every cuticle, every nuance, every pitchifka, the way it happened. It was 1951 on an Erev Shabbos. My father was walking in Tel Aviv down a wide boulevard, Rehov Allenby. And he saw on this Erev Shabbos across the street a green wooden kiosk. A kiosk is like an outside stand where the man will sell drinks and papers and chocolates. And my father was very intrigued by this man that he never stopped learning. My father got closer and saw it was a Mishnayis Meiser Sheni. But no matter what item the person wanted, My father saw the man simply gave him the item, took the money, gave him the change, but he never stopped learning. My father was wondering who this Yid was. Then he heard a young fellow come over and ask to buy cigarettes. Remember, it was Erev Shabbos. The man asked the young fellow, what time is it? He told him a quarter after 12. So he answered him, I'm not selling you the cigarettes. Slicha. Him kein adli lo mocheh cigariot achrei chatzot b'erev Shabbat. I'm not selling it. In other words, he was afraid maybe this person would smoke them on Shabbos and it would be Chil Shabbos. My father was so intrigued by who this Yid was. He went over, and here's where people, sometimes when they say over the stories, inaccuracies filter in. I'll give you it to you the correct way. My father asked the man for his name, and he said, Yankel Ochsenkrug. He asked my father for his name. He said, Mordechai Shapiro, where do you learn? Lakewood, who's your Rosh Hashiva? Reb Aaron Cutler. So he asked my father, I'll say it in Yiddish, then in English, Nu, was is geworden von ihm? Whatever became of him? So my father looked at the man. What became of Reb Aaron? Reb Aaron is the prince of the Torah world. There's not a Jew on the planet or globe who wasn't affected by Reb Aaron and his Torah. When the man heard that, he started to cry tears of joy. My father asked him why, and he said, because decades ago I was a butcher in Minsk, and I couldn't learn Torah as much as I wanted. I sold a lot of meat in my butcher store, so I made up that for every kilo of meat that I sell, I'm going to put one kopeka, that's like a small coin, like a penny, in a jar. And after a few years, I had sold thousands and thousands of kilo of meat, so I had many jars filled with thousands and thousands of pennies and kopekas. One day, I took all of the jars to the local cheder, and I asked the head of the cheder to send two boys that have iluyisha heads to learn in the great yeshiva of Slabotka. And one of the two boys that went with my kopikas was a boy that they called Arkula Swisslitzer. Arkula is the nickname for Aaron, and Swisslitz is the city of the youth in which Reb Aaron Cutler grew up. So he was one of the two that went with my kopikas from the local cheder to learn in Slabotka. So my father stared at this man. This man was responsible for Reb Aaron? This man, you want to know if the little bit that you do is going to make a difference? A kopeka and another, and a kopeka and another, and a kopeka and another? And the man sent Reb Aaron to Slabotka. And the world changed forever because of that decision. Many years later, the Pikeach Hador, the wise man of the generation, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. The Heiliger Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky used to spend part of the winter in Miami Beach, where I grew up. And one Wednesday evening, he was in the home of my parents on Prairie Avenue, and my father was speaking to Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he started to recount to the Pikeach Hador this story. And he was telling Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky how this Yid was responsible for sending two Bochrim to Slabotka, and one of the two was Reb Aaron. And Reb Yaakov told my father, that is the true story, that's exactly how it goes. And I know, because I was the second boy who went with those kopikas to learn in Slabotka. Here is a man whose kopikas were responsible for Reb Aaron and for Reb Yaakov, and world Jewry was changed forever. Because kopikas add up. And so if you're still wondering, but it's just a small commitment, it's just a kopika, one adds up to another, and it helped create a Reb Aaron and a Reb Yankiv. I give us all a bracha as we approach the time of Kabbalah Satayra, Shavuos Tavshinai and Zion. I'd like to believe that today, if we were asked, we would still say Nase V'Nishma, because we are thinking about where we are headed, because we understand there is something priceless called Torah, and I better make it Geshmak, and because I believe in myself, and that every small turn or step that I do could make a ginormous difference. In this chus that we will once again answer, Nase V'Nishma, let us be zoicha to a emesdika kabbalas ha-Torah. Only Yiddish nachas from our families. Enjoy it, gesunte heit. And we should see the geula shalema, bimheira and biyameinu. Amen.
Okay, Rabbi, so just before you leave, a massive yashar koyach to Rav Shapiro, Mamish Imre Shefre, the Kishmoy Kane Hu, it's a tremendous stage, Shkoyach, thank you. I also just want to say a quick, there'll be a marriage in 2 minutes. I need to say my yashar koyach from the base of Medrash. In 2 minutes, in the shul, we're davening in the shul, upgrade. We're davening in the shul in 2 minutes marriage. There is some hot food at the back as well. I just have to say a couple of yashar koyach, Shkoyachs, whatever the plural is. Most and foremost, I need to thank Mendy Zilber, without whom none of this would have happened, at least from our perspective. Can we give him a hand, Mendy Zilber? And Reb Dudi Iskovitz here, tremendous, as our Bratz HaTorah in this camp, unbelievable. My Chabad Toiv, Reb Yonason Rudin, who helps make this whole organization turn for us as well. And last but not least, the Achsanya, Reb Tawil, who was actually responsible for bringing Reb Shapiro to England for us for the weekend. Yashar koichot to you, Yashar koichot to everybody that came tonight. Be'ez Hashem, see you on the next one. Kol Tov.